Corinthians in the 15th chapter. I want to read one verse for the thought of our study. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and if you will, kindly drop down to verse 31. And observe what was written from the pen of the Apostle Paul when he penned this letter to the church at Corinth. Notice in verse 31 the statement, I affirm by the boasting in you which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If you have your Bible, you may want to underscore that statement, I die daily. The Apostle Paul brings to the mind of the readers of this epistle a very serious thought. Paul talks about dying daily. Now, I recognize this is the land of the dying and not really the land of the living. This place, earth, is not our rest, as we so often preach. When we talk about heaven, we understand that heaven will be our rest, as we observe in the Hebrew letter in the 3rd and 4th chapter. That heaven is the rest, but that hell is no rest, that there will be no rest in that place of eternal destruction. But in heaven, there will be eternal and everlasting rest. Someone had talked about in this life that it's a long descent to the valley of the shadow of death, and no doubt that's true. But at this time, I want us to give some serious thought to what Paul said when he said, I die daily. The first thing I want us to think about is what we might identify as the death of a hero of faith. And there's such a thing as the death of a man of God or a hero of faith. And this has been true of men in war and true of men in the Bible. If you take your Bible, you can turn to the book of Acts in the 8th chapter. And you'll find that in Acts chapter 8, you'll find a man identified as Stephen. And you'll remember that man was a man full of the Holy Spirit and full of faith. And in his faith, he made the proclamation of the gospel. And you'll remember that many of that day, the religious people stood opposed to him. And because they stood opposed to his teaching, and their heart was cut, but not because they believed, but because of their disbelief, they took him out of the city and they stoned him to death. Here was a man who was preaching the truth of God, and yet he's a martyr for the cause of Christ. He's put to death because he loved the truth of God, he loved the Word of God, and he proclaimed the Word of God. But then if you take your Bible, you can look in the book of Acts and the 12th chapter. And when you come to the book of Acts in the 12th chapter, you'll find James, one of the apostles, the brother of John. And you remember that man was beheaded. Now, why did that man face such a great challenge in his life? Why did that man lose his life and the sword come down on his neck and kill him? One reason, he was a child of God. And because of his faith, he lost his life here. But then if you take your Bible, look in the Revelation letter and the 20th chapter. And when you come to the Revelation letter and the 20th chapter, notice, if you will, what the Bible has to say. In Revelation chapter 20, notice that the Bible is talking about several who had been beheaded for the cause of Christ. And I want you to understand, beginning at verse 4, I saw the thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the Word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. What I'm interested in at this time is noticing that these individuals were beheaded for the cause of Christ. And notice the Bible says they were beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the Word of God, and that they'd not worshiped Caesar. So thus far, I want us to observe these individuals. Then if you take your Bible, look at this man identified as Paul. The man who's doing the speaking in 1 Corinthians 15. And notice that this man had his life at stake every day. In Acts 16, when he went into Philippi, he was cast into prison and beaten with many stripes. In your Bible, if you will, look in the book of Acts in the 21st chapter. You remember in the book of Acts in the 21st chapter that Paul is talking about going to Jerusalem. And notice what the Bible says beginning at verse 26. In verse 26, Paul is writing and he is saying that as he goes, that he knows that the people would be stirred up. I want you to understand, my friend, that at this time, Paul understood that going to Jerusalem would stir up the people. And because of that, when he goes to Jerusalem, in verse 26, he's arrested. And you remember, they arrest him on trumped-up charges. So here was a man who knew that when he went into the city of Jerusalem, he would be beaten and persecuted. Then if you take your New Testament, you can turn to Paul's second epistle to the church at Corinth and notice in the 11th chapter the many times that his life was put near to an end. When he was shipwrecked, when he was beaten, when he was stoned and left for dead. You think about a man who could truly say, I die daily. And I wonder if this spirit still lives. I wonder in my heart, if the Spirit lives in the heart of the people of God today, would they risk their life for the cause of Christ? But that brings up a second thought in our study. Certain things are needed to have a heart to be able to say, I die daily. The first thing I think we need to see when we talk about someone in the mind of one to face death is he must be a saved man. I just fail to see how any man could say, I die daily and not be saved. Now, Paul was a man that had been saved when he obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know what that man did in Acts 22 and verse 16? He was baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. He obeyed what he was told to do. And Paul writes later in the Roman letter and the 6th chapter, that when he obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he was buried with Christ in verse 4, and that he was raised from the dead as Jesus was. Notice it says, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should be walk in newness of life. For if we've been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. One has to put to death the old man. And the man was willing to die would certainly be a man who had been saved. Secondly, he's a man who has a desire to depart and be with God. Open your Bible to the Philippian letter and the 1st chapter. And when you come to the Philippian letter and the 1st chapter, examine what the Apostle Paul said beginning at verse 20. He said, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. I'm confident when that man said, I desire to depart, he speaks words that sound strange to the ears of many. And I doubt if many of us have the desire to part as we love our family, we love our brethren, we love our friends. However, this man was saved, this man was ready, and this man said it would be better to die than to live because he would be with Christ. If you take your Bible, that's kind of what is brought out in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he said to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. So here is a man that said he would rather be with Christ, that it's better. Now the question is, do you feel the same about that matter? To know that one might ever have the desire to be with Christ. Think about the ungodly person. He has no hope. And to die for him is the worst possible thing. Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. No other word but Christ fits there. For me to live is recreation, to die is loss. For me to live for money and to die is loss. For me to live for anything and to die is loss, except if it's Christ. If I live for Christ, then death is gain. If I live not for Christ, death is destruction. And so Paul brings to the mind of the people that he desired to be with Christ. Open your Bible to the Ephesian letter and look at the ungodly person. Paul talked about his earnest hope and expectation, but notice in the Ephesian letter and the second chapter that the ungodly man has no hope. In verse chapter 2, look at what is said down in verse 12. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having, watch it, no hope. Underscore, no hope. Without God in the world. It says in verse 12, they're without Christ, they're without God, and they do not have the promise, they have no hope. Oh, I would I could get that into the hearts of people. That the ungodly individual has no hope. To die in that state is not a state of comfort. But that brings up something else. We need a good understanding of what death is. And it's necessary for one to understand and be willing to understand just what it is when they face death. James chapter 2 tells us exactly what death is. Death is separation. He said, as the body without the spirit is death, so is faith without works. However, that doesn't mean the end. In 1 Corinthians 15, the entire chapter deals with the fact we will be raised. Go back, as we mentioned just a moment ago, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And when you come to Paul's epistle in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look at what he says in verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Look at that statement. We have something better. And he said, we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven. Can you say that tonight? Then he says, if indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked, for we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now, isn't that something? You remember it was Peter that wrote in 2 Peter 1:14 that the Lord said he was going to have to put off this tent. And I'll tell you, my friend, we have a tent that's not going to be inhabited forever, because when we're raised, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, we'll be given a new body. But then think about the fact that we'll be conscious. Open your Bible to the book of Matthew in the 22nd chapter. In the book of Matthew in the 22nd chapter, you'll find at this time that in verse 32, the statement is made, I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of what? The living. Where is Abraham? Where is Isaac? Where is Jacob? Are they still living in the flesh? No, but spiritually they're still alive. And notice that God is the God of the living and not the God of the dead. The spiritual life. Those who are spiritually alive, he says, I am their God. And I'll tell you something. You think about the fact that beyond the grave will be conscience. You think about in Luke 16, 22, when Lazarus was carried by angels and brought to the side of Abraham, to the bosom of Abraham. And you think about that statement. Paul was a man that was willing and ready to die. For he had the understanding that death is not the end of life, it's just the end here on earth. But that brings up something else. What would help this be for us? What would help us have the same attitude that Paul has? The first thing that we need to do is realize all of us are dying. Just in the time we've been here, we've come closer to meeting the end. Open your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. When you come to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, notice what the Apostle Paul had to say in 2 Corinthians 4. Look at verse 16. He said, "Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man..." That's the man that can be seen. That's the flesh. "The outward man is perishing." But look at the latter part. "Yet the inward man," that's the eternal part of man, "is being renewed day by day, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment," that's this tent, this is the flesh, it's only here for a short time, "is working for us a far more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory." Oh, I would that we see the outward man is decreasing daily, day by day. But secondly, it would make us have our life ready for the end. Because we do not know when death will come, but we're ready. We are wanting to be ready. You remember that David said in 1 Samuel 20 and verse 3, "There's but a step between me and death." In Hebrews 9:27, the Bible said, "It's appointed for man to die, then the judgment." So I think that if we learn every day that we die to self and we renew ourselves, it would prepare us for when we physically die. It would help us die if we had the right view of death. But I'll tell you what also it do, it helps us live. Because we're not afraid of death like everyone else. Paul wasn't afraid of it because he understood one thing, that death is just the gateway to being with the Father. I'll tell you, I understand the fear of death. I'm not like some preachers that get done preaching and say, "Let's take me right now." There's some things that worry me because I've never experienced them before. But at the same time, who takes away the fear is that Christ is with me. And in the 23rd Psalm, he said, "I'll not fear though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Why? God is with me. The shepherd is there. He'll help me from this life transition to the next. And because my faith is in Christ, I can come and live a life for glorifying Him, knowing one day I'll be with Him. And then I'll tell you what else it'll do. It'll help us die daily to our old self. You know that old man, he was put to death when we were baptized, but he seems to always want to come back, don't he? And I'll tell you something. When we die to self daily, we are renewed. And we've been talking about we're revived. Every day we start a new day that God has given us, and that's a new opportunity to be dedicated to God, to serve God, to give God the glory He deserves. And we live our life with the end of eternity in view, running our race that is set before us with endurance. I like that statement Paul said. I die daily. If I put self to death every day and live for Christ, then I'll tell you what, I'll be ready to meet Him when this life is over. If you're here this morning, evening, and you're not a child of God and you've never put on Christ in baptism, you need to put to death the old man. And you need to be crucified, and you need to have that old man put to death, and you need to be buried in the grave of baptism and raised to walk in newness of life and have life eternal. And when physical death comes, that's just a step because you're going on to your rest. If you need to obey the gospel, we pray you come. As together we stand and sing.